me to my brother David. "Hi, Dave. It's good to see you." David to me, "It's good to be seen." The first time I heard that, I'm like, what? But isn't it true that it is good to be seen? This need to be noticed, this need to be seen. We do it as a joke, but the need to be noticed and the desire to matter, to be seen, is an enduring universal need. It is something that has been part of our human experience since we've been human. And what was interesting when I was meditating one day is this popped into my head, this "it's good to be seen" comment, which admittedly is really funny. Try it sometime. But what came to mind for me was the parable that Jesus told, or a teaching really that Jesus told, when he noticed he was invited to a dinner. And at that dinner, he noticed how much the guests jockeyed for position to be near the head of the table. And in response to his observation about this chaotic moving around, he shared a parable which isn't all that well known. It is called The Lowest Seat, and it is found in the book of Luke. For a bit of context, this dinner happened on the Sabbath, on the Sabbath day. And Jesus was already in a bit of trouble because earlier that day he had healed someone, which is considered work. And so here he was invited to a meal, a Sabbath meal, at one of the homes of one of the Pharisees, who is like a part of the religious leadership. So nonetheless, there's this large group, and I imagine it must have been a very large group, or surely he would have been uninvited. But he was keenly aware that people were noticing what he was doing, I would think, because they were already talking about him for having broken the rules. Anyhow, he watched as they sat themselves at the banquet table. And this is what is said in Luke 14, beginning at verse 4. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host, and the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, "Give this person your place." And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, "Friend, move up higher." Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you, for all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. This is another one of those riddles that seem to be part of Jesus' teaching, where it's like, what does he mean by that? It doesn't, on the surface, appear to make any sense. Imagine this picture of the banquet table and people coming and sitting and then asking to be moved down so that someone else who is more distinguished having to come up. Imagine, when I think of it, I think of this like Benny Hill skit. Anybody remember the Benny Hill show where they would put things on in fast, like time and a half speed or something, and people would run around and they'd sit and then they'd have to move, and then I just imagine this chaotic silliness going on when people seat themselves in the wrong place. It's as if they're jockeying for their position at the head of the table. And you can picture the chaos and the energy that can be sort of frenzied in that image. Now imagine instead that a guest walks in and calmly takes a seat in the lowest place. And imagine that person then watching the silliness going on at the head of the table with a degree of calm and equanimity. And I think there's some wisdom in there if we start to peel back the story. Because what we're seeing is anxiety versus calm, and our ability to enjoy the moment. And I found this slide, which I just thought was hilarious. I'm sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of how awesome I am. What if we could see this arrogance, this wanting to be recognized, this bravado for what it really is, which is actually an underlying anxiety? The other song that came to mind as I was thinking about this is the Rolling Stones. I can't get no satisfaction, but I try and I try and I try. I can't get no satisfaction. So what happens is, in this parable, you can imagine these people coming, wanting to be noticed and recognized as a person of importance. So they move to the head of the table, then they are asked to move, and they're always a little bit on edge because they never know who's going to be tapping them on the shoulder. No, you're not that important. Move down. And I can just feel it even as I'm talking to you, how nerve-wracking that might feel. And we do all the time. We live in this place at times of what's going to knock on my shoulder, what's going to erode my confidence. I had the privilege yesterday of hearing wonderful speakers at TEDx in Surrey. And as often happens with wisdom that is being shared, there are these powerful lines that pop in and that just fit perfectly with what I want to say. And yesterday, as one of the speakers was clinical psychologist Andrew Mickey. And what he said yesterday was, anxiety over, sorry, let me re- re- Let me say that again. Anxiety erodes confidence. Anxiety erodes confidence. And I would add, anxiety erodes power. It erodes our access to our own power. In the electronics world, for those of you who skipped physics or whatever the class might be that has it, is it physics or chemistry or, anyway, electronics. Ohm's law basically says that available power is inversely proportional to resistance. And I'm going to explain it. What that means is if you have you have a certain amount of power, each one of us has a certain amount of power that we use to direct our energy in various ways. But if we are if there is something, this is cutting out and it's distracting me. I apologize. Oh, yeah, sure, I'll switch. I am so disappointed. We thought we had this all worked out and figured out, and it's not so, and I don't see the mic. Oh, it's over here. There we go. So here's an example. Something is an impediment. Something just happened that was an impediment. I have a certain amount of power. And the more I resist the fact that there is an impediment, the less I will be able to access that power. Because I'll be distracted. Something else will be distracting me so much that my flow will be impeded. And that's just a fancy way of saying that when we are anxious, think of resistance as anxious, as being anxious. When we are anxious, then our access to our power is limited because it's distracted by this impediment. And that is true when we are in our life and we are jockeying for position instead of being at the bottom, at the lowest seat, in a place of calm, watching and being present to the moment. Being present to enjoy the feast rather than waiting for the tap on the shoulder that says, you're in the wrong place. When we are anxious, when we're in this place of lack of calm, then our power to think, our power to reason, our power to respond, our power to be creative and think of other solutions to a problem, those are all eroded. And we can't hear others. We close off because all we're worried about is looking within and being self-absorbed. It is in our best interest then. Where's my clicker? There you go. It is in our best interest then to be calm. Because in that place of calm, we can be confident. And if we can be confident and calm in any situation, then that is the place where we can reason and respond and observe and be thoughtful
and be present to enjoy whatever the situation may be. And I think of this as helpful humility. Helpful humility adds to a sense of quietness of heart, a sense of harmony, an ability to access our inner power. And there is a quote that I read, the source is unknown. Humility is perfect quietness of heart. It is for me to have no trouble, never to be fretted or vexed or irritated or sore or disappointed. It is to expect nothing, to wonder at nothing that is done to me, to feel nothing done against me. It is to be at rest when nobody praises me, and when I am blamed or despised. The idea of humility is the idea of allowing yourself to be calm in any situation. Mother Teresa said, if you are humble, nothing will touch you, neither praise nor disgrace, because you know what you are. We don't have to put our energy on whoever else is recognizing who's at the head of the table. So think of yourself as the host of your dinner party. Think of yourself as the person who can direct where you sit. And in life, you get to choose where the appropriate place may be. Sometimes, power is being willing to take the lower seat. Sometimes, it may be more powerful to step up and be courageous and move up higher. So I want to look at both of these ideas. The first, the idea of being willing to take a lower seat. Leonard Bernstein, the late conductor of the New York Philharmonic Orchestra, was once asked to name the most difficult instrument to play. And without hesitation, he replied, musicians might guess, the second fiddle. I get plenty of first violinists, but to find someone who can play second fiddle with enthusiasm, that's a problem. And if we have no second fiddle, we have no harmony. Here's another example of being willing to take a lower seat. At a reception honoring philanthropist and music patron Sir Robert Mayer on his 100th birthday in 1979, an elderly British socialite, Lady Diana Cooper, fell into conversation with a friendly woman who seemed to know her quite well. Lady Diana's failing eyesight prevented her from recognizing her fellow guest until she peered more closely at the magnificent diamonds and realized who she was talking to. Overcome with embarrassment, Lady Diana curtsied and stammered, Ma'am, I'm sorry, ma'am. I didn't recognize you without your crown. It was so much Sir Robert's evening that I decided to leave it behind, said Queen Elizabeth. When you are choosing whether or not to take a back seat, to increase harmony, to allow someone else to have the limelight, ask yourself, what adds more harmony within me? And what would add more harmony to this situation? You know who you are. That's enough. What if you allowed someone else to be celebrated and exalted? But here's another part that I take from this parable. What if our habit is to take the lower seat all the time? What if it's our habit to not speak up, to be perhaps timid to a fault? What if we actually have something meaningful to offer? Sometimes our tendency to stay quiet is not helpful. Sometimes what happens when we don't speak up is that it doesn't actually add to the harmony in the situation, because the loudest voice, the one that's speaking the most or speaking the longest or speaking the loudest, who sounds like they know it all, get to carry the day. And I know I've been in situations where that's happened, and I'm sure each one of us has as well, where someone is just so powerfully insistent that they have the answers that you just step back. That doesn't always provide the most useful, inclusive, and harmonious solution. And so here's the other part that strikes me about this parable, and that is the idea of friend, move up higher. If you have something thoughtful to contribute, then helpful humility includes the idea of being willing to step forward and take a higher seat. Doing it from a place of calm, doing it from a place of thoughtfulness and presence, rather than from a place of anxiety. Abraham Maslow, you will either step forward into growth or step backward into safety. You are the host of your dinner party. You are the conductor of the orchestra that plays the music of your life. And there are times when it is appropriate to step forward and not take the higher seat, and not take the lower seat. It is appropriate for you to step forward and take the higher seat. And what is true is that this is true not just for our outer circumstances, for the people and relationships in our lives. And we tend to think of these stories, these parables as metaphors for what's going on outside in our lives. But it also applies to what's happening within us. There are voices within us, are there not? Voices that say, I need to speak up, but I'm too scared. What will they think? I'm just going to stay safe. There are other voices that say, I'm going to protect you by allowing you just to be big and bold, and maybe no one will notice how scared you are. And then there are others that are somewhere in the middle. And our goal as the conductor of our symphony, the host of our dinner, is to be the person who seats these characters within us in their appropriate places. We're not saying that they're not invited to the table. But ask yourself, what gets the most attention from you? What voice within you are you listening to the most? Is it the voice of anxiety, of fear, of if I'm not seen, I don't matter? And can it shift so that you invite the calmer, more gentle, loving, intelligent part of yourself up to a higher seat? Friend, move up higher. Maybe it's time for you to allow those to be exalted. And so we leave it here today with these final thoughts. Rick Warren: true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It is thinking of yourself less. It means giving less power both to your desire to be seen and to be exalted, and also less power to your fear of being seen, your fear of not having anything to offer. Choose the path which leads to harmony. Notice where you demand attention and consider taking a lower seat and being willing to play the second fiddle. Notice where you are reluctant to step up and invite those fears to take the lower seat. And with friend, move up higher, allow your courage to guide you upward. Allow your humility to be helpful in any situation, so that those who are humbled will be exalted, and those that are exalted may have to be humbled. Helpful humility, calm, connected, contented. I bless you.